comment, Mrs. Baker, before we start?
Thanks, Chair. With regards to the letter, I would just like to know, perhaps the DG can enlighten us, when does this process start for this, what I'm feeling is the fact that these catchment management agencies are on the visiting of them as part of the department's plan, it's budgeted for, it's planned for, it's reported on. When this, was this decision taken to have this one entity? And if, I mean, why do we still get, keep getting reports? We've been asking questions for months on the catchment management agencies, and not once were we ever told about this plan. The first we ever heard of it was yesterday. Never ever been alluded to before. Why not?
I guess the question there talks more to the rationale behind the decision. Chair, I will ask CDG for regulation. So
thank you, DG, Chair, Honorable Member. The process for the review started a year ago, when we had problems in terms of implementation at local level. The first problems were around the labor, the union, who objected in terms of transferring staff from the department to the catchment management agency because of the issue of the public entity. Then the minister set up an internal steering committee between the department management and the labor. That process went for a year and we couldn't reach an agreement internally. Once we agreed with that process, then the issue of national treasury also came on the board, where they were questioning the issue of the revenue that we are collecting in terms of the financial sustainability. And in June, and the former DG then also set up a task team to look into the issue. We also called a specialist who are external to the department to help us with the rethink of the design of the institutional model. So in our last strategic planning session that was held in June this year, we took a decision as a department that we are going for a single entity based on the recommendations and an allocation letter also from National Treasury. Because the recommendations from National Treasury were saying they support that we go for the 9 CMA, but if we do have our own funding, we can proceed, but they are warning us in terms of the fiscal constraints that it's not going to be possible to go to the 9. So we looked at all the issues, the financial sustainability, the decentralization, and then we decided at our president to go for the same one. Minister only signed this in September or 2nd of September. Yes, now. So it has been a long process of engagement internally between ourselves and also with the union. Thank you, Chair.
Fine with that?
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate the explanation. It's just that, you know, when we asked questions in committee about the establishment of the CFAs, we should have been told of it. Instead, I think a lot of the time the department doesn't, I won't say not truthful, but they're not telling the committee the whole truth. we hear a little bit. When we ask questions, we're not asking questions to punish or catch the department, whatever. Give us this information. And I mean, a lot of the time Joe was not even in the meetings, but the DG is there or whoever. Give us that information and say, this is the reason, and this is what we're thinking about. Then we know, and then we don't hammer on like idiots hammering on when are these things going to be gazetted. In the meantime, there's another process taking place, and nobody has shed any light on this. It actually makes life a lot easier if we have the information, then we don't start pursuing things that we don't need to pursue. Thanks, Chair.
I'm now reminded of Mr. Mguni, who then asked a question about the prototype CMA. It seems like Digi, you know, is keen and prone. Whilst you're moving forward and, you know, and run up towards a proper CMA, you know, there is an interim, if you like, structure called prototype CMA, and it also gets clarified as to what it means and what it is. And without knowing, then we are now back on single. As Mrs. Baker is saying, it can only mean well if we take each other on board. It can only mean well, nothing else. And that's all what we are really looking for. So that we are able to be consistent as we do our work. Because we also get to do our own research. We are consistent in what we want to achieve at the end of the day. We are not your enemy. Far from it. We are your partners in this developmental agenda to better the lives of all people. That's the only thing we are. If you can understand that part and accordingly work together to achieve the same objects that you want to achieve. Nothing less. Okay, let's get going, Gigi.
Thanks very much, Chair, and our members. I'll just do a quick summary first before I speak to the CEO and the CFO. You can't hear you. I was just saying, I'll just give a brief before I speak to the CFO and the CEO to give you this. But maybe before I do that, may I just register an apology from our chair, Mark Nyakana Mabuka. He's not feeling well. He's been booked in hospital for a while now. And then, but he is just to maybe give a brief overview in terms of our CAPEX, our annual performance plan. We managed to achieve 85% of what we planned to achieve. The shortfall is that 15% destination and the plans of what can be done in the future to get that done. In the terms of financial management and managing our budget, again, Chairperson, we got a clean audit report with no emphasis, and we support that we are going to continue doing so in the future, looking at the controls that we do at the ISO. We have our challenges with the department, but we manage to resolve our challenges with the system, talking to our department whenever issues discussed, and we manage to get solutions to those challenges that we have. So we thank very much for the support of our mother department and several the support included in the board of committee and guidance. going forward in our duties. On that note, I'll just give to the CEO, who is going to give us the talk together with the deputy.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Professor Committee Chair and members, honorable members. I'll run through our annual performance. We'll look at our strategic objectives, where we are located, and then our performance, which basically is why we're here, the challenges and the risks, and how we mitigate them. We have five strategic objectives, which are in line with that of the department, and ensure effective, efficient, and sustainable management of water resources, collaborative and coordinated integrated water resource management for wide socioeconomic development, efficient management of IUPMA resources, promote knowledge generation and distribution, and then promote and place international developmental agenda since we share common boundary with Mozambique and Switzerland. The far right is our catchment, the Nkomati Refuge, orange color. And if we expand, go into it, we have the Kruger National Park inside, serving there. We have Mozambique to the right, and then we have Switzerland, which is almost part of our and Nkomati catchment. So I go straight to our achievements. And when I say governance and then reporting requirements legislatively concerning the board as well, we say that the 2016-17 financial year, we did not record any variance from the expected performance. We managed to convene all the board meetings and therefore that the committee meetings to take place requirements, documents sent to the minister as required. Our NAF performance plan was submitted and then the minister approved. The amended one was also submitted, and our quarter report, including the performance report, revenue and expenditure, and then PFMA compliance checklist, all were submitted to the department without any problem. When it comes to marketing, the organization, and communication, we received an extensive media exposure due to events or tests in the province as well as international share, and then due to the demand of more projects. I will refer to the draft that we had, Chair. We need to interact with our stakeholders more efficiently because we need to explain to them why we have draft, what should we do, how do we conserve water. We also launched a Facebook page, which is running now, and we believe that this financial year, the current financial year, we will work very much on it. Like I said earlier, the impact of the drought indicated a lot of interviews, and then we had to actually talk to our stakeholders. We had a hazardous dashboard, which is helping with our reporting as far as water quality and quantity is concerned. So I don't want to go into details like we said earlier. That's why I just can't get a snapshot of our performance here. When we look at the number of projects advertised, I was saying earlier that because of the drought and others, we exceeded our target because we have to all the time talk to the media, talk to the people to explain the drought and how we should go about it. When we go to resource protection and waste, so I think we have to mention, highlight, and then we are proud of this one, that we recommended water use license with the first financial provision made under the National Water Act. In the past, we have tried to get this done, but finally we got it done because the one that used to be with the DMR, whenever the money was put there, we never had access. And together with the department now, this is the first of the kind in the country. We've got a provision where if the mine should go bankrupt or liquidate, there's money for us to rehabilitate. And that is something I need to highlight to the committee. We have finalized our water quality management strategy, and then we established a new unit. When the Water Research Commission CEO was talking in the morning, he was talking about ecological monitoring. We have established our own unit, which will do the aquatic and terrestrial vegetation, the fish biology, macro invertebrates, as well as the geomorphology. and that started working. System planning and then operations. Yeah, we received significantly below normal rainfall, which everybody is aware. But then because of our system modeling, we're able to manage the river flows constantly. We don't have any big problem, although at a certain point we fell below the international requirement, but we managed to keep the rivers flowing. The Usutu water availability assessment was completed. This is going to form part of our catchment management strategy. So we wanted to make sure we have, we know what is inside the Usutu as well as what we have in the Komati. Then we will review the existing catchment management strategy with information at hand. What we got from the Usutu catchment, Chair, if you look at the various sub-catchments, Asagai, Ilelo, Mwampisi, Usutu, Mpuluzi, and then Metula. We don't have that much. Even though Usutu seems to get good enough rainfall, when we did the assessment, the demand and supply seems like balancing each other. So we have only two catchments, like we say they are in equilibrium, that is the Usutu and then the Metula. The rest, we have some small deficits, which we need to incorporate into our catchment management strategy and see how best we can deal with this going forward in our strategic plan. So I mentioned the HydroNet and the new software that we are using to do our reporting. We can do some kind of rainfall forecasting. And this is to show that from October to January, we were doing quite well. We were within the cumulative average. And this year, I think the past year has done better than the previous year when we came to report, when the drought El Nino was hammering us. Through international cooperation, Chair, we and our Netherlands partners, we have five disabilities I've been talking about, and it has been functional. Now we are adding the water quality aspect. We have put groups that can give us online information at field stations. When we come to water utilization, Chair, the transfer of warm staff to water resource utilization, the new division that we created, we changed the name from planning to utilization. Then the creation of additional three new posts, the appointment thereof, and the last part of the year, we have got the people to man those divisions. And then the successful completion of our groundwater project. Last year we talked about it, and if the committee will remember, we said that we are citing boreholes so that we'll be able to monitor the quality and the quantity of the groundwater in our area. Because when we talk about water resources, we combine the two, the groundwater as well as the surface water, and that's what we're doing. And in the process, we managed to site some of the boreholes in areas where people can use it beneficially. I'm talking about the Mayor's Hook one, which we are now in Usutu catchment, here, which we are now fixing to make sure that the community of about 400 people can use. It's also a snapshot of what we're doing. We talk about the number of water quality related licenses, authorizations that we did. 29 as opposed to 20 because of the backlog which we got, when we inherited, but we have almost dealt with everything now. And then with the quality aspect too, which is demand driven, we work with 13 instead of the 10 that we planned. On stakeholder interactions, Chair, we use our forum as the basis or the platform where we can exchange information. And then we help to do some feasibility studies. An example is the Sibange irrigation scheme, which we've now got in terms of reference done. We have a collaboration with the Real Foundation, Pegasus Institute. They are doing their research, and we are actually gathering our stakeholders to be part of that research to see how best we can help the HDI, the historical representative in the process. We have also collaborated with the South African Police Service so that they will understand the environmental crime better, and they are willing, very, very willing to go with that, especially when it comes to the illegal sand mining, which is affecting our water resources and the ecology. We, every year, coordinate the science schools competition during Water Week, or we can say the Waterman, and then the IMP division. We did it very well this year at the Mbombela schedule, where we organized some competitions, and the students were made to come with projects in terms of water resources and then water services, which went to very well. Chair, whilst we do the stakeholder empowerment and interaction, there are some of the questions, and the popular ones are the ones that we have indicated here. The need for integrated water resource management workshops on resource protection. And the answer we gave is we have given training in many communities, but we are going to prioritize communities we have never been to, we've never trained before. Pollution, which is a constant problem, but we are working on it. Rivers environment in general. We have programs that address similar issues or challenges at community level, schools, church churches, even with the traditional authorities, which are ongoing. HDI or resource for farmers support needs. We have been liaising, and then we connect the affected parties with the relevant department chair, so that, for example, Dadlia, if there are places we can help, we bring our stakeholders to give them the database, and then they look at it, where can we help, and then we come in. There was a dispute with our HDIs and then commercial farmers, and then we investigated together with our regional DWS offices, and then the result of the investigation was referred to the relevant departments and the unit. Some of the parties in the dispute reached amicable solutions, which we are happy now. This just to show some of the work we do during the river campaign to clean our rivers. When it comes to our support services, corporate services, this year we enforced the cost containment measures as we've been doing, implemented by the National Treasury Chair, which has seen that organization got some kind of a savings. We also developed and implemented some strategies to attract and develop or motivate the talent that we have. We gave bursaries. This year we gave about 14 bursaries to our workers to study and then enhance their competencies. During the tariff consultation, which we do every year also, this year it went very well, but then we showed the increase, the percentage increase here. Domestic and industry went up a bit. Irrigation also went up a bit by a narrow margin. And then the stream flow reduction activity also, which is the forestry, also went up a bit. So this is our tariff for our IUCNB. The implementation and effective maintenance of records within the ICMA continues, Chair, and then we've got a very functional record department now. Water quality and quantity files are all the time continuously updated and maintained, scanned into the system. Improvement in the system and the terms of work we awarded to the performance to the BDDE went up, I think it's about 30%. Yeah, 30% of our expense in that term. Okay, our risk management, there's been no variance from the expected performance with regard to respective internal controls. Our quarterly risk register updated and submitted to the governing board via the audit committee. We continuously do that. Financial management, sound financial services rendered as exemplified by the ICMA checklist, having been fully compliant with the PFMA regulation. And in keeping with that spirit, we timelessly submitted all our requirements to the minister. And like I said earlier, we submit all the four reports quarterly.
In terms of the income statements and the balance sheet, you'll see in our revenue, that's the revenue grants that we receive. It's a combination of grants as well as water resource management charges that have been collected. Other income, we've seen an increase this year, but we've been trying to do to raise income from other sources, such as dam safety inspections. So we do have the engineers that are qualified as dam safety. What is it? The engineer? APP, approved professional person. So we use that skill to generate extra revenue while doing density inspections of private dams, tender document sales, as well as a biomonitoring project we are doing on behalf of the department. On the next slide, we have our balance sheet, if I can put it like that, financial position. So you'll see in our current assets, There's not much. Last year we had a prepayment that we had done for services, and that was a current asset, current asset at the end of the year. So receivables from exchange transactions would be, okay, the numbers are a bit below. I've noted that, members. So we just move one line up. So the 35,000 relates to current assets, the 31 million relates to receivables from exchange transactions, and the cash and cash equivalents just go up a little bit. That's why the figures are a little bit down there. We had some delay in cash transfers, again, at the end of the year. That's why we have huge cash reserves at the end of the year. That's the last tranche of our revenue that was received. On our current assets, we have property, plant, and equipment. You'll see there's been an addition there. We bought property at Bicredif. We found that in the Usutu catchment, it's much more expensive to rent than rather to buy and convert into office space. That way, we save money on deposits and the rental amounts that end up escalating a lot. I think we're spending about 240,000 on rental, and we managed to get a house for 1.3 million and written off over a period of time. It actually saves us costs in terms of running the offices from the Usutu catchment side of things. So we've acquired new property when it comes to that. You'll see even our rental deposit has decreased. When we look at our liabilities, we have current liabilities. We just go one line up again from that side. We have our finance lease obligations. That's some of the savings that we've experienced through transversing this National Treasury contract. So we've participated during the year in the printing transversal contract. So it's called labor saving devices. Previously, we were just going out on tender and getting quotations for the printers that we had. And now we went through the transversal contract of Treasury, and we are with Konica Minolta because it has negotiated lower prices than we would go on the market, as well as the Vodacom contract, controversial and has been on the news, but we are realizing some cost savings with regards to those two contracts. And, okay, the CEO just jumped over there, but basically that's on a high level. We don't have a slide on irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. However, we have not incurred any fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the current year, but we do have our first instance of irregular expenditure. It's about 200,000 that we've had. We participated in a contract of water quality probe instruments that had expired from the department side. So once we entered into the service with the service provider, the contract had already left. So, and that there was that difference in opinion, professional opinion of the auditors, then we therefore had to disclose it as irregular expenditure in terms of the PFNA, so that we meet the requirements of the required disclosure.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Okay, I would just want to finish with the challenges and mitigation that we have applied. The drought, which is a natural disaster, which means that we may need an additional facility, which is a dam. We have set up a committee, and we call it a crop dam, to help the department. We hope to get one dam in the crop area catchment to help alleviate this problem. Water allocation reform. It's part of the water allocation plan, and we can fully do that share when we are finished with the verification and the validation. Challenges and mitigation again, pollution problems, emanating from wastewater treatment works, post-serial traffic, we know that share. And apart from the notices, directives, and police cases, interactive structures have been established for the relevant structures to find solutions together, like TAGA, COPSAR, and then we also participate in the municipal strategic self-assessment program so that we can help with that. Chair, that is the end of our presentation. Thank you.
Just a few questions. With regards to the verification and validation of water users, we noticed that there's a weakness in the department's report yesterday. But obviously, these all have an impact. How far are you in the process? How many? What are the challenges with regards to that process? And I'm just keen, Chair, they seem to be doing a very good job. Every year we have in Kamaji Susu, they're always doing such a very good job. And I just wonder about the future, obviously, with this new How do you guys feel about it? Mr. Joe could not yet make it. Tell us about your feelings today. now, how is that going to impact? Well, what? I don't know. Are we going to still have a briefing chair on this process? Because I want to know how it's going to impact on these two, on both catchment agencies. What's going to happen to the staff? Who's going where? The practical implementation of it. And then I saw in DG in yesterday's presentation there were a number of protected areas that were gazetted as your APP with the Mabola area and that planned mine. Were you registered as interested and affected parties in that case? And can you shed some light for us on the process and what's happening with that mine? And what, I think your water resources are quite scant. What impact would that mine have on your available water resources if it goes in supply and in pollution as well? And you've also mentioned the wastewater treatment works that are impacting on your water resources as far as pollution goes. What are you doing about that? Who are you interacting with and what action has been taken? And where are these, which are the main culprits, if I can call it that? Thank you, Chair.
Firstly, I would like to check the issue of clean audit.
Is it real or the auditors just buying favors to give you clean audit right now and then? If it's real, congratulations. The presenter did mention the issue of yellow line in Chairperson, and I was checking. I went through all this thing. I haven't seen the yellow line. Maybe it's there, I don't know. On page 2, if not 3, you said there is a yellow line there, orange or yellow line. Yeah, orange color, orange line, but it's not in my document. The issue of bursaries, I heard you mentioning that you awarded 14 bursaries, maybe to 14 students. Come again? Or to 14 workers. I just wanted to check the criteria used there. Strategy that you use, or as long as you are working there, you have to be awarded a bursary, maybe checking the level of the skills you have or what. And then you're talking only about the people in at Ukomati. Thank you.
No further questions. There be no further questions. Maybe just a quick one on my side. I was trying to go through your actual report itself. Talking about the remuneration of your board members, something that has been there for quite some time. How far did you go on that one?
The second one, the feelings about the one CMN, there was some consultation on that issue. We're actually trying to calm ourselves on that issue, but there are some processes that we work together with the department to get that sorted out so that we don't have the issue on the mine issue, the CEO also look at that together with the pollution. Issue on clean audit is real, Chair, and we've been having a clean audit for a while now. say PMG, that was PMG. So it's, we have some controls and systems that we have in our organization that ensures that we do have that clipboard. That is it. Well, the yellow line, just you will get it. The depository issues, as a board, we make an undertaking that we need to upskill our staff on that issue. But on the terms of the criteria, I think the CEO will talk about that. Remuneration of the board has been an issue. I think we met with also our sister, Okma, looking at that, and the issue now, I think the CEO can just give the latest details on that. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable member, the orange line we're talking about is not a line, but then just if you look at the map there, it is in Komati Usutu, that one on the right. It's our current orange. Yeah, that's the orange one we're talking about.
Okay.
Actually, when I was signed, they send us the electronic version,
yeah,
which we then print.
Mm-hmm.
But when you print, Maja prints on a black and white, and her team.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. With the VMV, we're almost through with the Komati one. You know, we got Usutu merged with the Komati to form the Komati Usutu. We have already started with the Usutu as well, and we're going to finish, I think, at the end of next financial year, into next financial year. Yeah. I'm sure the chairperson has mentioned briefly about the future of the PMA. I think the committee is going to meet with the minister and the others. I don't want to talk about that one. And my chairperson has already talked about it. And then the mine, honorable member, you know what it is. Every mine, whenever there is operation, there's got some kind of impact, especially when it's cold, on our water resources. And looking at the fact that we don't have enough resources in the area, any aspect of pollution will affect us greatly. The little that we have, we must make sure we protect it and manage it very well. We have the protected areas, gazetted areas, we have registered, and then, as in, like you said, affected parties, and then we are interacting with them. We give some kind of objective to some of these things, and then they will go and come back. And that is where, when I said, we are proud of one thing that we did. There is one mind that, the financial thing we said, if you don't put financial equity mind, if you don't put any financial amount upfront, we're not going to allow you to do that. And for the first time in the history of South Africa, we managed to do that under the National Water Act. The amount we projected was about 15, 35 million for that. They pay 125,000 every month for 15 years. We are going to get that much put in store. And now they are banking in the Liberty Trust Fund. That's where the money is being deposited. So when the bank goes, the mine goes bankrupt, we are going to use that one to rehabilitate. So that is the first achievement we have done at the IUC on this. Wastewater treatment works. Yeah, Mama. The municipalities have been the main culprit. And now we're talking to them. We have done, like last year I said, we have done letters. We have gone to the police. And we are winning some, we are not winning some. So what we've done is, why don't we be proactive? So we have organized some strategies in place, including the municipal managers and the technical managers. At the Timuchili, for example, there was a problem. The pump was spilling water, sewage into our water resources. Then our technical team went there, And then they said, guys, what are you doing? Can't you put a casement? It was a simple life, right? Can't you put something here to store, line it and store the roadway that is coming in? So that when you are ready with your repairs, we can take them back and treat. If you don't do it, we give you time, we will come and do it because you budgeted for some money. And when we do it, we're going to reclaim the amount from you. When we advised them, after about a month, the team went there, they had done the catchment. They had done everything nicely. And I was so impressed when they came back and reported to me. So we are interacting with them to collect this situation. When it comes to finance, I think she knows better. I will ask her to talk about the clean audit, which our chairperson has already talked about. And then Bezley, she will explain more. But we don't only give to our internal people, Mama. We give to external people as well. External Bezley. We have given three, external Bezley, and then four internal Bezley. We'll give you the thank you.
Sorry, Chair, if I could just say quickly before we go to the finances, how is the Kondo plant operating? Is it fully operational now? Is it no longer polluting the Africa?
How is the department addressing the growing challenge of increasing sand mining?
On the wastewater treatment pollution side, what we've done in the 17-18 year, the current year that we are in, we budgeted for 8 million rand on the remediation of pollution. So where we issue a directive and the spillage into a resource and the municipality is not fixing that, we will come in and then fix that spillage and then recover the funds from the municipality. So we are doing non-infrastructure related remediation work. Because we're not an infrastructure agency, so we can only remediate if the truck spills into the stream, then get the cleaning guys to remove the poison before it even reaches downstream. So that's what we are doing with regards to that. Or if there's a spillage of a wastewater treatment work, and it takes them 2 weeks to even come in and see the site, we'll then clear that spillage from the resource through that remediation of pollution. With regards to the clean audit, I think our chair has touched on that. We actually were under the scrutiny of new auditors this year. So we've previously been PwC for the past 5 years. So now we're being audited by SABNT and the OSA a new broom 16, and that's where the professional judgment came in. And the first time we have a regular expenditure related query in this year. The bursaries that we award internally, there's criteria. We have a bursary policy that is approved by the board. So the criteria is that the people must study in a South African university, so we don't sponsor bursaries outside of the country to try and promote the knowledge that exists in the country. And you need to have a past proof, the track record of passing when you're doing part-time study, as well as if it's an intervention of a performance management system. So you're not performing in your work, and we find a tertiary qualification that will assist you in better performing your duties. Sometimes we find that it's that kind of intervention. And we award the bursaries based on that. We also have awarded 3 external bursaries for scientific studies. So we found that we struggle to get specialized skills like the aquatic science. So we've advertised within the catchment for those 8 students that have done science, and we've channeled them to do those specialized water-related courses during the year. And on the remuneration of governing board members, after the portfolio committee meeting set the last time we were here, we then since received the directive that is supposed to come through, and we've implemented it accordingly. And this is the remuneration of government.
So I think the last one is the illegal sand mining. Honorable member, I can tell you that this is countrywide. It's very widespread. It's not only in our water management area. It's very, and also in some cases within the traditional authority, that is their area, they will give permission to people because if you use wheelbarrow, you can just take something to go and repair your house or something. That's acceptable. But then we talk to them that let us guide you where you can fetch this sand. And that's where the problem is. But sometimes you go in there and then you see a front loader in the riverbed taking sand. And then it becomes, you know, it affects the ecology. The little rain that you get, instead of going down, will be stopped in that one. It doesn't go anywhere. And that's the big issue. So what we've done is we're trying to create awareness. In fact, we have done even radio. Personally, I've also been talking to people on the radio on that issue. And then we have the tax team. Even yesterday, there was a meeting about 2 days ago. After the ministerial level, our minister has taken the tax to get him. So they are meeting to talk to people. And then we hope that the people will understand. It's not easy. Some of my technical people have been threatened with guns. If you don't go away, we will shoot you. And it's not something that we deal with on a small scale. That's why probably we are in government.
Yeah,
I
guess I have one last point, please. Ask a question here, but I'm interested in the way that you deal with the municipalities where you you're building. Because I think it was 2 weeks ago or the previous meeting we had, you made the same suggestion to the minister that where there's intervention from the department side, the municipality should be building. What is your recovery on that money currently? And just to follow on, if they don't pay, do you take the legal then if they don't pay?
Thank you, honorable member. That was the route we have been using, criminal cases. And then when the municipal manager, but we personally, as a municipal manager, you are personally liable, not the municipality. So we take them to the police station. And that's why we, somewhere I said, the police are on board now. They didn't understand how to prosecute them, how to arrest them. These are environmental cases. So we're now involving them in our forums, and they understand very well. When we take them to police station, they find money somewhere, and they correct the yeah. And this is the first time we are implementing the, we do it, and then we claim from you. This is the first time we are doing it. And the place we went for the catchment, that was where we were going to start first. But when we went there, we had done it. So we have not had any before we had to repair it. Yes.
Thank you for that. It was a very straightforward one, straight to the point. No manga business. Thanks for that.
Thank you very much. Congratulations.
And all the best in your good work. Ready to hold that? Hold it.
While the acting CEO is busy loading his presentation, I'll just give a brief overview. And also to greet the chairperson as well as the honorable members. It is an honor and privilege to be here today and to continue to share with you what we do as the Water Resource Institutions. One thing I would like to first touch on is that I think between June and July, we had our CEO seconded to the Overberg Water. And as soon as the minister confirmed that, she also has given us the mandate to appoint an acting CEO, which we did, Jan van Staden. And we have quite confidence in him. He's with the organization now for, 10 years. And he accepted to act, and we thank Yanni for that. But also to highlight that the organization itself, BGCMA, has generally done well this year, just in overall, and Yanni will let you speak to that in detail. But what really touched me, during the CMA, one CMA model, I've had to actually go and meet the staff as the chairman of the board. I think it's quite important that when there are change management issues, that senior leadership does speak and speak very clearly, because it is only when you don't do that there is so much panic in the organization. And we believe that having visited the staff, there is a bit of stabilization. They see opportunities in the whole establishment of the one CMA model, which is still have to be discussed. But while I was in George this week in particular, I was really, really impressed, because you find that George is actually in the transitional zone where it's between the summer and winter rainfall. And what we do in BGCMA is that we give small grants, and that enables people that don't have access to water and they don't even have pipeline to get rainwater tanks, which enable them to farm on a small scale, and those people are able to feed families. And what impressed me the most is the five women that we met that actually are farming at one of the schools there, and they've been doing that even without any rainwater tanks. They've been using wheelbarrows to cut water, and still they persisted. And these are not young women, it's women over 50, most of them. So really quite impressed with that, working with agriculture, working with municipalities and that team together. It shows that when we work together as government, we can actually really change people's lives. And also, moving on, is to say again, we received unqualified audits. This is a phenomenon that we've been achieving since inception of this organization. And this year, in October particularly, we are celebrating 10 years of existence. And we've built experience over time, and we've demonstrated the need of having catchment and management agencies in the country, and in particular, having those water resource management, decentralized, closer to the people where it matters the most. But without further ado, I'll just hand over to the CEO to take us to our report. Thank you.
I say thank you, Honorable Chair, members. I put this slide up here. This is the story of the Brede Gouda CMI area. You can see the lovely blue mountains. But also what is important is the infrastructure that takes water from rivers to big dams, to big schemes. In our area now, this year, also last year, even a year before, is extremely big drought, meaning that our infrastructure that must take the water in the winter, our rainfall period, to the big dams, those infrastructure is not conveying water anymore. So our dams in most of our area is empty or very close to empty. There are certain dams in our area. When you talk about the Klein Karoo, the Great Karoo, the Great Karoo schemes, the dams are empty for the last 2 years. So it's a big impact on the people living in our area. It's quite possible to make opportunities open to find ways to find drinking water for all the citizens living in the towns and the municipalities. But it's quite difficult to find alternative source of water for the irrigation sector, for example. and there's a severe impact on our irrigation sector in our area. And hopefully it will rain soon, but the winter is almost over. Normally it rains until the end of October. We're sitting in the beginning of October, and there's not many days left anymore to get good winter rainfall. This picture again of our area. It is a vast area. It starts on the other side of the Huguenot Tunnel when you drive the way to Worcester. It includes the whole of the Groot Karoo, the Klein Karoo, and also the whole coastal area up to Blouwkrans Valley on the other side of the Pieter municipality. In our area, we've got 17 B municipalities and 4 district municipalities that the Bredegouden CMA is supporting and also regulating. When we go to the strategic objectives in our organization, we've got 8. I'm only highlighting a couple. Water resources planning. This one is all to do how you plan to do water resource management. And here you think of the catchment management strategy. Also our input on all the planning initiatives that's happening in our area. Water use management. Here is the registration of water use. That is important so that we can know how much water is used in our water management area, and also that the water users can be built accordingly. We're talking about licensing processing to get water use license application. We are working very closely with the Department of Water and Sanitation. In the case of the licenses, we are recommending authority, and we are quite good after 10 years of learning to do that process. Also, item like the verification of water use, is also falls under water use management. Then institutional engagement. Here we do the stakeholder relations, because we witness over many years water resource management you can only do with the involvement of other people and other institutions. Alone you cannot do it. So we spend quite a lot of resources to create awareness, build capacity in the broader public sphere. Water allocation reform. Here we put practices and effort in place to make water available to people that did not have access to water before. We help emerging farmers to get subsidies from the various government departments. We help them to complete license application forms, and also we assist in implementing rainwater harvesting projects. Like the chairman said already, it's quite successful, and it made a huge difference in the communities where we put it in. And then this last thing I want to point out, the resource protection. Here you look what we do to protect the base of the water resources. Things like water monitoring, pollution control, reserve classification, etc. Well, what did we achieve in this reporting year? We started the project to develop a catchment management strategy. But you might ask why now, only now 10 years later? But because in the last year or two, the Gouda's water management area was added to the old Brede Overberg water management area. That's why we started the process to develop a new catchment management strategy, but of course taking into account all the previous work that was done for the previous Bokma area, and we completed that 80%. So we foresee we will finalize that CMS by the end of this year. And then if I can move to the water use management part, the second one is important. 93% of licenses finalized. We received 53 license applications and we finalized 49 of them. So I would say that's quite an achievement. The finalization of a license application is quite a complicated and involved process. But like I said before, we seem to get the process right. Then also, if you don't do auditing, compliance is all within 305 days, Chair. So some of them we can do quite quickly, but others were all completed within the regulation that's stating nowadays 305 days. Then if you don't do compliance monitoring, there isn't extra law existing. So we do every year audit reports completed where we checked on compliance, and we completed 64 a year, and that was also our target. We come to the verification letters, the validation and verification of water use. We did 205, and our target was actually 200. I can say for a big verification project, we do use a service provider, but we also do in-house on an ad hoc basis verification of water use. We've got the capacity and skills in the office, but when you do a wide-scale project, it's better to contract resources in. Otherwise, you can sit with the resources afterwards, and you don't know what to do with the resources inside the office. Institutional engagement. This one is where we get involved in National Water Week campaigns, like, for example, National Water Week. And here we reach over 6,000 learners. So we actually went out to schools during this year, capacitate children, learning about water resources management, and also not to pollute, and all those things that are linked to proper water resource management. So we're quite proud of this fact that we involve stakeholders. We involve learners. Like I said before, it's the only way you can make a difference. Then the social responsibility projects. Here is especially rainwater projects. Also food gardening, where we also promote efficient type of irrigation as part of the support. And it's making a huge difference in communities that actually needs a difference in their life. And then the water-related forums, our target was 30. We achieved 30. The only way you must talk about water on a forum level, and by doing that, you can find out what are the problems and put solutions on the table. Especially in a times of drought, as we experience now, if you don't talk to people now, you really cannot sort out any problem. And also the division of water, if people are not involved in this process, you cannot win. For a water allocation reform, that is very, very important in the greater Gouda CMI, our whole function and mandate is actually to make a big difference in this sphere, and we are doing that. We supported all emerging farmers, technical support that approach us, man. And then the financial applications for government subsidies. Here our target was 30. We achieved 35. Here is the subsidy in terms of the policy of the Department of Water and Sanitation. Also the policy of the local Department of Agriculture in the province. We assist people to get a financial support. We come to resource protection. We do we monitor resources on a very wide-scale basis. Our target for the monitoring of water points was actually 80. We achieved 103. And then what we also do and what we experience in our area is the invasive aliens in the Breede Gouda CMA area. It means that vegetation, not local to our area, is actually infesting our area, especially along river courses. So we try to make an impact here, and we do make an impact. The next time you drive to Worcester on the N1, when you cross the Breede River, you can look left or right. You can see the river is clear. There's no alien vegetation or trees next to the river that you can see. We want to also expand on this in this current year and the year after the current year. So it's making water available to the water resource, especially in the summer months. And of course, also is creating much needed job opportunities for people that actually take out these invasive vegetation. And then whenever somebody is reporting a non-compliant case, the public, especially during the drought now, there are more complaints now, we sort it out. And our target was 100%, and we actually sort out 100% of the complaints that we received. I'm not going to touch on the information system, but a big thing here is the implementation of the SAT that the CMA is implemented, together with the top department of water and sanitation, and we are right on track in terms of what we said is going to be implemented. Strategic support. I want to skip to the part management and governance, right to the bottom part, that's saying two new agreements signed. And here I want to highlight, we signed agreements with two local universities, the University of the Western Cape and also the Cape Peninsula University of Technology. And by doing that, we put the proposal on the table. The area of the Brede Gouda CMI is like a living lab. We've got problems, and then we bring the universities to the table, and they offer solutions to the problem. People can study in a master and a doctorate degree to solve that problem. And it's quite successful. And it's now even this, this whole approach is recognized by other African countries also, and they also want to follow the same process. So we are a living lab, we identify problems, universities come in and they help to solve the problem. When it comes to the matters relating to the auditor's report, and here I want to stress again to the honorable members, everything in this report is now really, really real. Like the chairperson said already of the board, unqualified audit opinion, this is now the ninth, or is it the tenth, the ninth one in our existence. So every year we received an unqualified audit opinion. When you look at a performance audit, the five programs were selected under what we called water resource management, and you can see usefulness, reliability, unqualified, everything, everywhere. So it means what we said and what we did, somebody looked for the evidence and they found it, and they say it's unqualified. Financial viability, our deficit decreased by 8 million compared to the last financial year. As an agency, the Brede Gouda CMI, we still receive a grant from the Department of Water and Sanitation. We don't do our own revenue collection by invoicing water users in this reporting year, so we receive the money from our mother department. A thing that was highlighted was internal control deficiency. This is all about supply chain management. We don't have the appropriate people to apply the policies, but we also address this by appointing now the appropriate people. Fraud and consequence management. This is also real. There's no fraud identified. And then we are quite embarrassed about a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But this was because there's a penalty from SARS because of a late payment of tax money over to SARS. And the reason is, at that stage when it happened, there were two choices. The one choice was we pay SARS, and the other choice was we pay our employees. So we took the decision we pay our employees, because this one is all linked to the transfer of the grant that we received from the Department of Water and Sanitation. And this was condoned by the board in a board resolution. Then the achievements. Right from the start, there was always this fantastic, from the Audit and Risk Committee, the oversight. This committee is very strict, always looking what is happening and provide very good leadership and guidance. We are quite aware that water is a scarce resource, but there's also the full understanding in our board that money is also a very scarce resource and we manage it appropriately. That's why for the last 9 years we were able to receive unqualified audit reports since inception. If we can go to the organogram, we operate out of two offices, the one office in Worcester, the other office in George. We've got 49 staff members, and I must say the majority of the staff are actually ladies. So that's quite unique in the water field. The men are in minority here. With your permission, Chair, I just want to hand over to the CFO to go through the financial figures.
Thank you very much, Yanni. Through you, Chair, let me just firstly explain about the internal control deficiency. It's not like we don't have appropriate staff to do the job, but it's just we were hesitating to appoint more people now that there was this discussion of one CMA. So we don't have enough capacity.
capacity to perform the duties. Those of who were hesitating wanted to, once they need to be finalized. Okay. All right. If I can go through finances, I am proud to inform the members that as a BGCMA, our assets do exceed our liabilities. As you can see that our assets is 7 million and the liabilities is 4 million, so which means there is a surplus of 3 million. So there is no problem on the going concern of the agency. And then on the financial performance, we did receive the money from the department, even though the acting CEO mentioned that there is a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure was caused by the fact that the money, we didn't receive it on the 1st of April, we only received it on the 17th of May. So that's what makes the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So we did receive eventually the whole 47 million. And also the income, if you look at the page, the income is coming from the interest from the bank, as well as the bio micro analysis that we are performing on behalf of the department. We also have a deficit. The deficit does not mean that the agency is in trouble. It means, like for instance, our grant, there is some of the projects that are being rolled over or overlapping to another year, so which means those grants are only incurred the expenses and account for it at the time that we receive the invoice and make the payment. So there's no worry about the deficit, it's just that the assets are exceeding the limit, the liability, and this deficit is caused by the accountability of the expenditure at the time it is incurred. Okay. Then this also is showing that we are trying our best as an agency to make sure that we are reducing the deficit. If you notice, last financial year before the one that we are reporting on was 13 million, and then this current financial year is only 5 million. So we are trying our best to make sure that we are reducing. We don't have many projects that are overlapping to the next financial year. Okay. And then in terms of the cash flow, this cash flow is showing that the agency is on track in terms of operating activities. The first part is showing that the money that has been paid out does not, like for instance, is on par with the money that has been received from the department. And the second part of it is showing that all the assets that we acquire for the surplus of 3 million, which is that we're investing on. And then the third plus part of this page is showing that the agency has no borrowing, we're not borrowing funds, we're only paying all the expenses on cash basis. So we don't have any borrowing money on our books. And then on the notes, the agency has three successful tariff consultations. We had a consultation with the stakeholders in all our areas, which is Nisna, George, and also in Worcester. In terms of the BE spending, like for instance, we are facing a serious challenge when it comes to this item. The reason for that is the area that we are situated on. But the agency is trying our best, we are trying our best in order to assist those small business entities, to call them and also call them to come to our office, and then we help them to apply on the CSD, so that we can be able to make use of them. And also we are reporting to the minister through the minister's shoulders compact on the improvement of this item. We are also advertising to the local newspapers in order to make sure that we are reaching the small business entities. Okay, capital project completed and still in progress. We've got the alien clearing, we've got the CMS, the NV, and intergovernmental project, which is the relationship with other departments and also the municipalities. And then I'm also proud to tell the members that we don't have any irregular expenditure as the agency. Thank you very much.
In the last slide, Chair, I just say thank you in Kosi Tanke.
Okay. We are now four. hope we don't get defeated further than this. Otherwise, the meeting is over. Okay, thank you very much. Very interesting and very inspiring. The common denominator between the two is that your CFOs are both female. Mr. You can switch off then.
Jefferson, thank you very much, and also congratulations with your results. I need to ask two questions. But Chair, before I forget, could we also make sure, or could the department make sure next week, Wednesday's meeting, Mr. Khan should attend this meeting, please? There's a lot of questions we need to ask Mr. Khan. I think you all know Mr. Khan. Right. Can I just ask on Oudtshoorn, on Oudtshoorn there is a Blossoms Wellfield project that is an Arvik fund project that was started, and Oudtshoorn municipality had to co-fund and they had to do a lot of the work. Before I go ahead, because asking the question won't help if you are not aware of the project. It is the Risten Vrede pipeline to Dijsseldorf and the Blossoms well field, the Blossoms pipeline also to Oudtshoorn. Can I ask the question? and maybe the DG as well. This project has started, co-funded, engineers appointed, and when the Arbic funding for the 17-18 financial year that we paid out $20 million, Mr. Khan informed them that they don't have the funding. Now the funding was spread, it was an $80 million project. The funding was spread $20 million in the 17-18 financial year, and in the 18-19 financial year and the 19-20 financial year, $40 million. Now, my question is how are you involved in rectifying this problem? Because for the 17-18 financial year, the department did not budget the $20 million. This will indicate that this project will be delayed by 5 years because of non-funding by Department of Water and Sanitation. And can you then also tell me what is the effect of this delay in the Oudtshoorn area? Thank you.
Okay, that seems to be the only question. My only interest, and perhaps it is a matter also that talked to the department. I've been pursuing this issue for quite some time, and I really struggle to get any satisfactory response. I was asking a question about the turnaround on your water use license period. The department talked to us of 300 days, and they're talking about 305 days. My main interest in that whole exercise is that what happens on day one until day 10? And what happens in 1 month? Is there some point, do we have any systems in place that are able to track that whole process? I have been following with the department on one specific inquiry I received, which really became, if you like, an eye-opener to me. The farmers in the Sandes River. That became an eye-opener because, you know, more and more many other people, you know, made almost similar, if not that, and other inquiries. And you get a sense that there is a lot of things that are happening behind the scenes that you you're going to get all the responses. Whether it is an issue of capacity on the part of the department or entities like this, of having to be able to say you cannot follow or track rather any of this process. As a result, it becomes easy for any process to literally get stalled somewhere. I would be very keen on any comment also from the department on this issue. This paper?
Just as an afterthought, if fruitless wasteful expenditure was to a payment that had to be made, well, there were cash constraints because of slow transfers from the department. Now, I'm sure that's what we heard from Nkomati Sutu as well. I mean, we must actually raise that as a concern, the impact that late transfers are having on the capacity of these entities to carry out their duties. Perhaps we could get some indication of why this is happening from the department and what is being done to manage it. Thanks, Chair.
If I can start with the one about the Blossom and the Oudtshoorn pipeline, I can only tell you what I know about the process. The Brede Gouden CMA was involved in a licensing of the water from the underground, the deep underground water. The holdup currently, as was stated, is the whole issue of funding of this pipeline. What I recall, the cost of that pipeline will be over 100 million now. And is this a split in funding? The one part of the funding can come from the department, RP funding, but the remaining part of the funding must actually come from the local authority. And it seems to me that is the big problem, that funding is not available in the local authority. And what I also pick up is that there are some technical problems that especially the officials from Oudtshoorn municipality are mentioning and put on the table is the whole thing about a variation of pressure of this deep underground water. Because one day you get this pressure, the next day that pressure, and it's very difficult then to design a pipeline to take this water to the town where it is required. At the moment, Oudtshoorn municipality is under a water restriction, but it rained about 2 weeks ago. The dam is now, if I remember correctly, somewhere in the 60% full. So I will say the water situation currently in Oudtshoorn municipality is all right. But of course, money was spent on these blossoms. I mean, the exploration, put in the well fields, everything, and hopefully it will be executed. And we can see what we can do to assist in this process. When it comes to the water use license applications, Honorable Chair, in our organization, we track all documentation. It's also an internal audit process, so they check if we're tracking it. So we can tell quite easily what is the status of the license application, where it is currently, and we've also got staff that follow up. As soon as the days tick by, somebody will inquire, but what happened to this license application now? For the CMA, because we are only a recommending authority, we've got 270 days to make a recommendation that goes through to the national department. Then they have 30 days to make a decision, is it now yes or no, to grant the license or not. But I must also say that the eWULA system that makes the water use license applications now electronically, that system is now in place, right? So all new applications is through that process, and on that database you can quite easily track what is the status of the application, and if you don't complete what you must complete within a certain time limit, the system will send a signal to your supervisor or to yourself to say, but look, the time has passed and we're waiting for to move it further on. So it's quite a big improvement. So I will say the new eWULA system will make a drastic change in the country regarding water use license applications.
I think he covered it very well.
Chairperson, I've got a report. I've just sent it now to the acting DG, a full report on Otsuram and their version of the department. Mr. Khan informing them that funding has not been allocated. So I don't expect you to give me an answer now. I have sent you the report from Otsuram. If you can investigate that and then come up with a recommendation or the way forward on that, I would appreciate it.
Okay, that should be it. And again, thank you. The only observation also, which is a common denominator, that I also had, you have the same auditing firm. The one is far up north, well, east of our country.
Yeah.
The other one is here. Or maybe it's a company that operates nationally. But it's a coincidence as well that it both audit the same, or both the same age. Anyway, on a lighter note.
So even though we are audited by SAPNT, when they come to deliver the report, AG is also accompanying them. Thank you.
Madhya is reminding me that the department did not respond to the delay in the transfer to the CMA.
Chair, there shouldn't be any delay in a, but I will investigate that as well and provide the report. It's part of the payment system. We should be releasing our transfers to our CMAs on time. I will investigate that then. But it's not a normal thing, that's right.
Okay.
On a lighter note, I think it's abnormal for the department to pay in time. Unfortunately, everybody comes here. I recall the previous time when we asked Rand Water whether the department owes him money. Then they said, yeah, they do. And then Sadie Beng said, but I didn't know that they also owe you money. And then Blue Water came with the same thing. We are also owed by the department. So there's a lot of investigation to be done. Acting DG, I think the norm is you are paying late on all your payments. That's why you owe 1.5 billion on accruals.
That's another lighter note. We are done. We are meeting next week on Wednesday. We are also going to investigate whether we can also meet on Thursday, not knowing whether political parties are